First of all, let me sincerely welcome all of you. I know that you must have a long journey behind you. Some of you came from far away places. I heard we have a guest from America and also guests from England are expected to come. Guests from Croatia have come. I believe we are only half of, and even less today than those who intend to come and who will come drop by drop or person by person as the Sangha Mela comes towards its peak. We had organized Sangha Melas since many years here in Goloka Dham and then stopped because there was another festival, a festival on the farm, more or less at the same time, and we decided let's put all our attention to the farm festival and not have another festival simultaneously. But then we thought, just last year, that why not have two festivals? One festival for one particular need, that is the need of the devotees who distribute books and who need to want to associate together, and another festival which has a different focus, which is for different needs and a different audience who also does something else, book distribution. But then we were faced with a question. The question was, what would be the specific theme or the specific reason or the specific content which we would give the Sangha Mela? What would we talk about? Would we just talk about in general about Krishna consciousness? And I thought, I don't want to talk any longer in so generally about Krishna consciousness, because all my seminars and all my work, which I'm trying to do, is very, very specific. It's about subjects like japa and kirtan. It has to do with powerful processes to awaken divine ecstasy in the heart, and sacred space and such subjects. So what would be the specific subject of the kirtan, of the, not kirtan mela, the Sangha Mela? You can see I do a lot of melas. we found something which I would like to introduce this evening to all of you. Hare Krishna, Jai Sri Radhe. Here come the devotees from Vrindavan. But before introducing this, I want to bring all of you here to Goloka Dham, to Radha Madan Mohan, with a specific little exercise. An exercise which will help you hopefully to totally arrive in the sacred atmosphere. I see there is Siam, who wants to get rid of a garland. Please come. Ich sollte dich so, oh mein Gott, Siam, das ist ja... Wow, Hare Krishna, danke. Dankeschön. Wow. Hare Bol. I would like to bring you in contact with something in you, which will most probably be the best friend during your attendance of the Sangha Mela. I request you to close your eyes and sit tall. I know that some of you are not used to my seminars. Don't worry, it will not be very new agey. It is very Krishna conscious. Don't worry. Follow your breath. Inhale and exhale. And just become aware of your breathing. This is not a breathing exercise where you have to breathe in a particular way. No, it's just an exercise in relaxation. Now in your mind, go back to the situation from which you came. Maybe you came from a foreign country. Maybe you worked yesterday and have just driven the whole day. What was your life before you came here to Goloka Dham? Think about your life at home. Your work, your studies. Go a little bit back to where you came from. And now find the inspiration or motivation which brought you here. Maybe you wanted to be in good association. Maybe the reason why you came here was to see the deities or some old friends. Or maybe you came here because you knew a specific devotee would be here. Think about that moment where you felt, well, I'm going to go to the Sangha Mela and I'm going because of this reason, this very particular reason. This very motivation or this inspiration which brought you here in the first place is something which you should hold tight to your heart, something which should remain close to you during these few days of the old year. It might be your best friend. It might help you to focus on the reason why you have come here and become successful in your visit in Goloka Dham. We are all here together at Radha Madan Mohan's lotus feet. Welcome in Goloka Dham. From this place, let us invite Ananda Chaitanya to play the harmonium, and we will sing Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Radha Madhava Gunya Vihari. Kunya vihari. Gopidana Vallava Giri Varadhani. Gopijana Pallava Giri Varadhani. Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Nijaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Nijaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopidana Vallava Giri Varadhari. Gopi jana vallava Giri Varadhari. Yasoda Nandana Vraja jana ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Vraja jana ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vana Chari. Yamuna Tira Vana Chari. Oh, Toshta, Toshta. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama
Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan Sri Radhe.
Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna. So did you all find your motivation, your, let me say, den zündenden Funken, the inspiration which brought you here this evening? Yes, Christian, you found something? Yeah, yeah. You wanted to sing with all the devotees. Wonderful. Yes, we will sing a lot. And I heard that the leader of the Gaurahari Bhajan band will come. So there will be singing. Yes. I think it is. I was in... I myself have the motivation. I wanted to be with all of you. See, when I left Vrindavan, I did feel this is a great mistake. Something had changed in my life. I was no longer just a pilgrim in Vrindavan. I'm doing now service in Vrindavan. And it goes very well. And I thought, oh no, I'm going to the West. And in particular, I go to Germany. You know, every person has a certain ambivalent relationship to the country where his body took place. So sometimes you like it very much, sometimes you dislike it very much. So I thought I need to find a motivation in my heart to come back to Germany, a reason. Not just that I'm going because my time in India is over. It's not over. I can stay longer, and there's service now. And I searched my heart, really, and found something which I also want to express in my New Year's message to the devotees. I found the motivation to be together with devotees whom I know since a long time, and to see if I can be a joy or a good contribution in their life. And that brought me here to go to the Sangha Mela, because I do know that many of the devotees whom I know and with whom I grew up here in Europe will come. But there's another motivation or another idea in my own mind why we have this Sangha Mela. This comes to the original question: what would be the specific theme, the specific overarching idea of this gathering of devotees? And from my side, I know there will be others who give contributions to this Mela, but from my side, I want to present Sambandha to you. I'm purposefully saying I want to present it. I don't want to talk about it. I want that this in my contributions to make you experience Sambandha. Sambandha is a relationship, and you can't really talk a lot about a relationship. You either taste it and experience it, and then you know what it is, or you don't really know about it, even if you hear a lot about it. So Krishna consciousness is about this connection or this relationship, and you either experience it, this relationship to Krishna, and then you know what it is, or you don't experience it, which would be a sad thing. You would miss the point, really. And then you just don't know what it is, even if you hear so many words about it. It was in the summer of 1970. Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles at that time and wrote a preface to his Nectar of Devotion. And in that preface, he talked about a simple natural method of developing love for Krishna. He talked about this, he said that the world needs this connection with God. And he wrote a sentence in that preface which really struck me like a lightning bolt. I was in fact translating this sentence into German, and I thought, I don't know how to do it. Here's the sentence for you. The nectar of devotion will teach us how to turn that one switch. This is a switch that will immediately brighten everything everywhere. Also was alles sofort mit Licht erfüllen wird. Überall. One who does not know this method is missing the point of life. So, in our little presentations, I would like to make you experience this switch. Which will brighten up everything everywhere. It's the one point which we all need to learn according to the Vedic scriptures. That is our relationship to Radha and Krishna. When we have this relationship, everything is bright and looks very happy. If we don't have it, if we miss it, we will feel sad and unfulfilled. Let us talk about Sambandha a little bit this evening, and then during the sessions which I will lead you in, that is during the morning class and a seminar in the later morning, noon time, I think 11 to 13 to 1 o'clock, I want to make you experience this relationship by guiding you through a few exercises and giving you a little kata. That's how in our tradition we give experience. We do Krishna kata. I will talk about a kata which makes one very sad and very happy. This is how it's introduced in the Gopal Champu. It's about Krishna confronting Kaliya and drawing out tremendous feelings from his devotees in the process. You will hear, you won't believe it. It's really something wonderful where you hopefully will be able to orient yourself in your own relationship to Krishna. So let us start about the need of a relationship. But I really want to say something personal before. Hare Krishna, welcome. Before I talk theoretically, I like to say this. My dear devotees, in my own spiritual journey, I had come to a point due to certain reasons in my life, a turning point. I knew something had to change. It was really after that surgery where I felt half, too warm to die and too cold to continue to live on. It was really a very difficult time for me. That surgery which had this infection where I almost left my life, and then I knew it had to do something with my life in this body and in this world. There was a point I just didn't learn, I didn't understand about my life, and now the universe was beating with the club on my head so that I could learn and understand something. So during that time, many of you know, I took a pause and went to the mountains in Bosnia, into a little hut, and was not so small. There were devotees living under in the first floor, and I was living over the head. And I had the time in my life to think deeply about where would I go from here. And you know, when I returned, I made changes in my life, which and the effects of these changes you can still see in my service, which I do today. It's very different from what I did before. And there was one spiritual point which totally convinced me. I still remember how it came. I was walking through the fog up in the mountains all alone and by myself, and I listened to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada. And then I heard his voice coming on the earphones, and as I felt coming through the fog of my life, the unclarity, and just striking into my soul. It was like a ray of sunlight through the fog. You know, when it happens, I think you all have this experience. You feel very happy because the gloomy atmosphere is over. Prabhupada only needed to say this one sentence: "What do you do for eternity?" It was a striking question. I was all concerned about my life. You know, will I go back to Germany? Will I go to America? Will I start something in India? Will I, you know, how will I deal with certain situations in the life? What will be my service? But then this question, what do I do for eternity? And it was immediately clear that this question meant, what will you do for Krishna? Or more precise, I interpreted the sentence to mean, what will you do to develop a real relationship to Krishna, a loving relationship to Krishna? Or let me just say it in plain words, a living relationship with Krishna, where something transpires which from both sides, from Krishna, from my side, the life is there. What do you do for that? And I must say, the next months I was thinking about this question and only this question, and got some good answers from by Prabhupada's mercy. And one thing is, it became very clear to me that without a feeling of relationship to Krishna, that I belong to you, my Lord, and I'm meant to serve you, and please, can you also speak to me or give me hints or just guide my way to you, that this active relationship would be something which I want to have in my life, and without this I think my life will be not a good life. As Prabhupada says here, I will miss the point of life. It was very clear to me. And then I read in this book, Harinam Chintamani. It's a guidebook on chanting by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that unless a devotee chants the holy name of Krishna with a sense of relationship with Krishna, he will not chant the real name, but only have the shadow of the name. That's a strong statement. If you don't chant with this understanding of a relationship, that is, you don't chant for Krishna to please him, and there is no relationship, no feeling, I belong to you, then you don't even chant. It's all a farce. You have a shadow, not the substance. And that was strong. You know, after 35 years in Krishna consciousness, I had to maybe face the terrible news that I'm not really in it. I'm missing the point, maybe. I'm not really feeling the divine ecstatic Krishna consciousness. I'm just on the surface. I'm an oberflächlich or quadrato, as the Spanish people say about the Germans. The Spanish people say the Germans are quadratos. It means square heads. I'm in it, but I'm, and the whole world around is not in my head. I'm just see a square of reality, not the whole. Wow, strong. Then I started to work on this Sambandha idea and get many hints in the scriptures. And one hint is this here. Narada Muni was once invited by Krishna's father, Vasudev. And when Narada Muni came to Vasudev, Vasudev was in tears. Vasudev said, "My dear Narada Muni, I was missing the point. I just prayed to the Lord to get a son, but why didn't I ask him if he could give me love for him?" You may know that Krishna was only with Vasudev for a very, very little time, and then he left to Vrindavan because Vasudev didn't have the love which Nanda Baba had. So I was praying to God, but I just wanted a son and not love. I was not asking for the real thing, love, which brings me into the kingdom of God. What to do, Narada Muni? I'm such a fool. And then Narada Muni tells him of a discussion which took place between the king of Vaidehi. That's a small kingdom which is known to be extremely spiritually minded. There are a lot of kings of Vaidehi. So this king's name is called Nimi. And one day, he is in the court of his palace, and the Navayogendras come. Do you know the Navayogendras? They travel from planet to planet within this universe, and they enlighten the people. So the Navayogendras come. They are not dressed. They just descend from, they manifest out of the air. And the Navayogendras are there ready to answer Nimi's question. Nimi asks a question, how do I attain love of Godhead? And then Kavi Maharaj, the saint called Kavi, begins to speak. First he speaks about what is not all right in the material life, what is our main problem. And then he says, gives a simple and natural method which helps people to develop love of Godhead. And I want to introduce this for you. He says the main problem in material life, says Kavi, is that we have turned away from Krishna and have developed a false identity. Instead of thinking, I'm a servant of Krishna, we have our false ego and live our false ego. Now the way out of this dilemma of being an ahankara, being a person who's ruled by false ego, according to Kavi, is you worship the Lord with the help of a spiritual master, an enlightened soul, and see the Lord as your all and everything. And then Kavi Maharaj tells us how we can establish our lost contact with Krishna. And that's the verse which we have on the board. It describes how to do this. It's a beautiful verse, and it is sung. Kayena vacha manasendiyeva. Kayena vacha manasendiyeva. Budyad manavanushrita svabhavat. Budyad manavanushrita svabhavat. Karoti yat yat sakalang parasmai. Karoti yat yat sakalang parasmai. Narayanayeti samapayetat. Narayanayeti samapayetat. He says, this is how to make connection, or how to make your relationship a living relationship with Krishna. One should act according to the particular nature which one has acquired in conditioned life, and then offer whatever one does with body, words, mind, senses, intelligence, or purified consciousness, and should offer that to the Supreme, thinking, this is for the pleasure of Lord Narayan, via Krishna Bhakta, for Krishna. So you take your nature, what you can do according to your nature, and then you will act with your body, your words, your mind, the senses and intelligence, and your purified consciousness. And then you offer those activities to the Supreme, thinking, this is for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. Now, at this point, we may think, but, I mean, will Krishna be interested in what an ordinary conditioned soul offers to him? I mean, haven't we heard that you must be pure in order to satisfy the all pure? This is correct. The motivation must be pure. But as long as you work with this body and the mind, in other words, if you have this shell around you, the thing which will be pure is your consciousness, or the thing which will be impure is your consciousness. Purity can take place or not take place in the consciousness. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes this very clear, and I think I need to make it clear, because when I'm talking in ISKCON about we have a relationship and should develop a relationship, and this means we should hear about Krishna, everyone goes like, oh, hear about Krishna? You mean personally? Yes. And make a relationship with Krishna? You mean personally? Yes. This is called Krishna consciousness, this movement, no? Mm-mm-mm. Then everyone, oh, we are not advanced enough, Maharaj. This is too advanced for us. And because there's somehow this feeling that we are so bad, we are so sinful, we are so fallen, that we just can't make a relationship with Krishna at the present moment. Maybe when we are pure souls. Then I asked, then how will you become pure? And the answer is, of course, well, we have to hear about Krishna. So that's something with Krishna, no? Yes. And we have to serve him, and we have to chant his name. We have to engage with Krishna, in other words. That's the only way to become pure. See, when we were in Bararikashrama, and we traveled up the Ganga, and we saw a phenomena. There was so much dirty water coming into the Ganga, you know, from the villages, the sewage, Abvesa Kanale. But the moment it comes in contact with the Ganga water, maybe not the moment, but after some time, it's pure. So, when you offer, this is the idea here, what you do with your body, words and mind, present body, words and mind, to Krishna, in your purified consciousness, thinking this for the pleasure of the Lord, then, my dear devotees, what you can offer, yes, it may be impure, will become pure by the contact with Krishna, just like ordinary water becomes pure by the contact of Mother Ganga. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes this very clear. He says, there's a nice description how one should offer one's ordinary activities to the Supreme Lord. He says, an ordinary sense gratifier begins his activities in the morning, so welcome in your bathing room, I think you do that also, by passing stool and urine, cleaning his mouth, brushing his teeth, bathing, and then meeting his friends and family members and discussing with them the day's activities. This is what an ordinary person does. Now, a devotee of the Supreme Lord should similarly perform all of his daily activities for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. You know, I'm not thinking really here of the bathroom activities, you know, brushing teeth and bathing and so on, doing this for you, Krishna. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wants to destroy this concept, which I can also find in our movement, that we can't offer our activities to Krishna because they are just too ordinary, or we are just too ordinary and too conditioned and too impure. No, he says even these things, which really are not very pure, you know, cleaning the mouth and brushing the teeth and all, they, by a devotee, it should be done for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. I mean, since we Germans have a fascination with the bathroom activities, I would like to ask the question, how do you think can these activities be offered to the Lord? No idea? Yes, you become clean and then you can go on the altar. So you can think like this. I'm scrubbing my body so that I can do direct service. It's called this indirect service, which prepares you for direct service, is called Gona Bhakti, whereas the direct service, you know, like going on the altar, is called Mukhya Bhakti, direct bhakti. No? But even this is what a Krishna conscious person's speciality is. Even in his ordinary life, he will try to make a connection with Krishna because all he is interested in is sambandha, that switch which will brighten everything everywhere. He doesn't want to miss the point of life any longer. He wants to enter this relationship. Jiva Goswami also talks on this point. It's an important point. He says, a devotee should not see... No, this is actually in the Bhagavatam verse. It says, a devotee should not see anything as being separate from Krishna. And then he quotes a verse. It's about a greedy man who thinks wherever he comes how to make money. You know, when the greedy man who is after money comes into the forest, he thinks, well, I can cut these trees and I can make such and such items from the trees and sell them on the market. Now, similarly, a very lusty man notices women everywhere. That is, when the lusty man is in the forest, he will even see an ordinary village woman who goes there, you know, to cut, how do you say, pilse, mushrooms, and sell them on the market. He will go like, boo, you know, as if this is the main attraction of the forest. A lusty man notices women everywhere. In the same way, a devotee should see the transcendental form of the Lord everywhere, since everything is an expansion of the Lord. This is a verse from the Purana. We should come to see Krishna everywhere. I will come to the end of this presentation with a few remarks and thoughts on how to do this. I think one very, very, very effective way to become more aware of our relationship to Krishna is what we do now for the next few days. We will celebrate at the lotus feet of Radha Madan Mohan on the altar. We will sing a lot for them. There is a 12-hour kirtan we have planned where we will sing maximum amount of hours for Krishna. And devotees come from Radha Desh and from all over the world for this kirtan activity. I think it's on... Yes, it's on... please help me. Is it Saturday where the Zavesta is? Yeah. Saturday, and then there will be a New Year's meditation. We will enter into a very special way into the New Year so that we make sure that this is the best year in our life. We will talk a lot about Krishna and hear about Krishna and his activities personally starting from tomorrow. And in this way become more connected with Krishna, the person. We will also be amongst ourselves, you know, in a good association where we can talk about our doubts and obstacles maybe, and get new perspective and inspirations for our own path. This will help a lot to develop Sambandha, our relationship with Krishna. But, you know, most important is we need to experience the mercy of Krishna. There's one great devotee. Oh, you must hear this. This devotee was known to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name is Vallabhacharya. There was frequent contact. And Vallabhacharya is a great teacher of the Pushtimagga line. Their Vaishnavas. Was once sitting in Gokul, and the evening came. And he felt very, very moved as the sun was setting over the Yamuna. He prayed to Krishna, "My dear Lord, you have asked me to bring souls to you, but how will I be able to connect these souls with you? Please reveal to me a means by which they can enter into your relationship. And then Krishna appeared to him and said, my dear, take courage. You will teach people the Brahma Sambandha mantra. It means Krishna is the Param Brahma, the highest Brahman, and Sambandha means the connection. And anyone who chants this mantra will definitely develop his relationship with me. It's a mantra which is very, very similar to the mantra which you have chanted a little bit while ago. Would you like to hear this mantra? I only have the English translation, but I think that's in any ways better. It's, you know, you go like this, O Lord, I have been separated from you for thousands of births. And this has created within me endless sufferings and complications. My true blissful spiritual nature has become hidden. But now I dedicate to you, my sweet Lord Sri Krishna, the beloved of the gopis of Vrindavan, my body, my senses, my life force, as well as my consciousness, my mind, my heart, intelligence, and also my sense of self. I dedicate this to you. I give you my home, my wife, my children, all my wealth, as well as anything else I have here and beyond in my next life. Krishna, I offer you my very soul. O Krishna, I am yours. You know, when you study the Chaitanya Charitamrita and our other works, it says that if Krishna sees that a soul turns around and says, I'm now offering you my consciousness, my mind, my heart, my intelligence, what I do with my body and my senses, I give this to you. Krishna immediately accepts such a soul. It doesn't matter that the soul had turned away from him for so many long years and stayed in the material world. It just doesn't matter. Once when Prabhupada was in Hamburg, devotees asked him, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? And Prabhupada said, it can happen in 1 second or not after millions of lives. This 1 second means this connection second, this relationship second, this second where you just turn around and say, I'm sorry. Have you ever seen this? Have you ever had a friend and something turned sour in the relationship? No? I think we all know this. Something turns sour and then communication breakdown. It's always the same. There's even a song about this. Communication breakdown. It's always the same. No, because everyone knows what it is. And then have you ever seen how this friend, after some time, you hear a phone call. You hear phone, oh, I'm not here. And then again, the phone goes, I'm not here. And then the third time it comes, and then you pick it, yes, hello. And then there's a long pause on the other side. You ask, is there someone? And then you hear the voice of your friend, I wanted to say sorry. I'm very sorry. What, it's you? I really didn't mean that what I said. It just came out of my mouth, just like so many things come out of my mouth, which are not very intelligent. Please forgive me. Oh, you go like, you are calling me, please come over. Can you come over or can I come over? Immediately the relationship starts. So when it's just like this in the heart. So when a conditioned soul just calls Krishna like this, whatever I do with my body, words, mind, senses, intelligence, I'm saying this is for your pleasure, Krishna. As soon as you go like this, Krishna's heart goes like, he's back, wonderful. And Krishna's heart, it's described, it's like a lake, Krishna's heart, a lake of deep, 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 deep water. And then the lake gets moved, and the water on the waves on the surface of Krishna's heart, spill over and flow into the material world. And that is called mercy, when Krishna's heart spills over and comes into the material world. That we call mercy here on this planet Earth. A drop comes from that ocean of mercy from Krishna's, means Krishna's heart is like an ocean of mercy. And then it becomes moved when Krishna sees how we are turning towards him, how we want a relationship, and how we make our desperate call into eternity. Then he's there, 100%. So when this devotee heard this mantra, he wrote it down, and now if you those who take initiation in that line, they get this Brahma Sambandha mantra, which is very similar to this shloka here, which I think the foundation of this mantra is really Bhagavatam. Good. In this time, while we are here in Goloka Dham, I really want to encourage you to call for Krishna, make your call to Krishna. Maybe you can't do it today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe the day after tomorrow is your day when you can take up the phone and make your call. But the main thing in this Sangha Mela, at least in the efforts which come from my side in my presentations, will be to let you experience Sambandha so that you are willing and enthusiastic to turn to Krishna. And then this will be your most, this will be an impetus to a very, very successful spiritual year for you, if you can rest that year on the foundation of Sambandha, of relationship, establishing the relationship. That's very good. We are usually are short of time. We are not. I thought to do two things now with you. I want to give you an active exercise. And then I wanted to sing with you. I saw Jai Gopal has come. If you don't mind to come up here. And Gaurahari, if you also already, please come up here. We will sing a little after this. I thought, well, let me first explain to you. There is something which we utilize in our seminars and our lectures which we give to in the world. which has made our presentations just something totally different than they were before. People write us and say that, thank you so much, we take so much home from these seminars. It's what we do is we just help people to be a little bit more conscious in what they do and bring their mind to their activities so that it's not mindless but mindful life which they live. And there's one thing that if you tell your mind in the something and you want to do it and you put it in your mind, then you're very strong in doing it when you come to your practical life. I need to be more clear. For instance, in the evening you say, let me give you an example, tomorrow I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock, believe it or not. And the mind goes, what? Yes, I have a plan to read something at 6 o'clock. And then the mind says, okay, that would be nice, you know, why not do something different and get up earlier and read and so on. And then the alarm clock comes. Ring, 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 6 o'clock. And then you go and do it, and you get up. You will see you get a certain strength in your life. The problem is, if you have told your mind and programmed yourself to get up at 6 o'clock, but when the alarm clock gets off, you kill the alarm clock, then not only the alarm clock breaks, but something in you also breaks. When you make a determination or a decision and then you do it, you become very strong when you do it. But if you don't do it, that is dangerous. Then something breaks in you and you program yourself to be a weak person in your life who no matter what he puts into his mind, he just doesn't do it because he cuts himself. So I wanted to explain this to you before. Like I did this when I came back from India. I was in an Ayurvedic treatment. I said, every morning I'm going to do this oil massage, which they say is so good. And I know if I don't do it, I will just, something will lose in me. And I'm now doing it. And amazingly, I have more time in the morning because I said, somehow there's a magic. When you put something which is good in your mind and you do it, it's just, the sattvic energy which is released in your life. So I'm still doing it. I hope maybe I should not have said it because now it's out and maybe I'm getting nervous. But it works. So I want you to either, if you have a piece of paper, write down this on a piece of paper, this question, or if you don't have a piece of paper and a pen, no problem, to turn to your neighbor and then explain that the three or more devotional three devotional activities you would like to focus on during the Sangha Mela. It could be like, well, when there is this 12-hour kirtan, I'm going to do 8 hours, you know. I will just sit there and I sing for 8 hours or 8 and a half, whatever, you know, like this. Or you could say, every day I want to just go to the deities and just stand before the deities. That's a good thing, the girl of darshan. Or you could say, one thing I would like to do is, every day I will find someone and tell them what I got out of the presentations, so that I will remember this. Or you can say, You know, something like this, which will help you to be there during the Sangha Mela. It is most properly most intelligent if you concentrate on the exercise which you already have done, where I asked you to find that original motivation, why you came here. Christian, for instance, said, hope you don't mind to be so public, but you said, I want to sing in the association of devotees, the mantra. That's why I came to the Sangha Mela. So you can think now practically, how will I put this desire which brought me to the Sangha Mela into practice? What will I do? Will I, for instance, focus on the 12-hour kirtans? Or will I just play kartals maybe? Or will I sit close to Jai Gopal and find out his secret rhythms? Or something concrete which will help you. Let me see. You don't take notes in Germany, right? Yes, that's all right. No problem. So then it might be more easy for you to just find a partner. Hare Krishna, willkommen. Is das Theo? Nee. Theo, hast du meine Message gehört? Wow! Ich glaube, ich sehe dich sogar in der Dunkelheit scheinen. Also da hinten ist es dunkler. Ne? So, okay. Please find a neighbor. Don't think this is not useful for you. It will be useful for you. I will repeat the question again when you found your neighbor. So, again the question. Please discuss with your neighbor about one or two things you would love to do during your time here in Goloka Dham. It should be a spiritual activity, something, because this is a spiritual place. Become inspired by what your other person says. Maybe it is full of surprises for you and you get some good inspiration. Please start now. You have about 5 minutes to do this. Thank you very much. Just in concluding, before we will sing for Radha Madan Mohan, today's verse was a verse on establishing our relationship with Krishna, our sambandha. Kayenava manasendriyeva budyat manavanushrita svabhavat karoti yadyat sakalang parasmai narayanayeti samarpayetat. It means one should act according to the particular nature one has acquired, and whatever one does with body, words, mind, senses, intelligence, or purified consciousness, one should offer that to the Supreme, thinking, this is for the pleasure of you, Krishna. No? There's a very simple formula which will really be something like Prabhupada says, the switch which brightens everything in your life. Because you will see, once you consciously establish a relationship with Krishna, wonders happen. After some time, you will feel ready for a next stage in Krishna consciousness, where you will approach the Lord in a pure identity, as a pure soul, and you will offer services to Radha in a very particular identity which will be revealed. But that is a subject for those who are interested in it and who want to go deeper in this. But here is something very practical, how the birth of your spiritual identity will take place by this simple sambandha meditation or simple sambandha activity. It's something very practical and something which works in a very deeply powerful way, and which is described in scriptures. It says here, there's a meditation which a devotee has who wants to establish his relationship. He will say, Yuvatinam yata juni yunam cha juvato yata mano biramate tadvan mano me ramatam tvayi. As the minds of young girls take pleasure in thinking of a young boy, and those of young boys take pleasure in thinking of a young girl, may my mind, Krishna, take pleasure in you. No? This is a prayer for a relationship. May I, in the spontaneous way of a boy who loves a girl, fall in love with you, Krishna, and do this for you. That's very, very, very good meditation. Very nice, very effective, and very necessary. Okay, I want to now turn with all of you to the altar, and we will sing